The 20th chapter of Exodus and verse 8. Let us all hear the word of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In other words, the Lord made it different. The word hallowed there literally means to be special. And the Lord has made Sunday special. No matter what way people treat it today, it is special in God's sight. It is a different day. There's another word that's used in Deuteronomy 5 where the Ten Commandments are repeated, and it's the word sanctified. It tells us there that we're to keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. And you remember that it tells us in Genesis 2, after God had created the universe, that God sanctified the Sabbath day, the seventh day. Sunday is to be different. It is to be different from the other days of the week. Now we're going to read from the New Testament. I want you to turn, please, to Mark chapter 2. Mark's Gospel in chapter 2. We're reading from verse 23. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. It's basically all or nothing following Jesus. I don't believe in pick and mix Christianity. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, so who am I to ignore something from it? I might as well tear out that page that refers to the fourth commandment, then keep tearing out pages as and when it suits me. If I started out like that, there would soon be nothing left. I want to live my life believing and doing the things God wants me to do. It's not a case of a couple of hours in church on the Sabbath day, then playing rugby or going down to the pub. It's the full day. Those are the words of Ewan Murray, a young Scottish rugby player who believes that the Sabbath day is to be kept holy. Ewan Murray actually played in the World Cup last autumn. He missed the match against Argentina because it was on a Sunday. And because it was on the Lord's Day, he refused to play. But there we have a young man in today's society who believes in the importance of the Sabbath day. He believes in the importance of keeping the Sabbath day holy. And remember what we said earlier about the Sabbath day, it's to be different. It's to be special. The Sabbath day is to be different from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. Sunday is to be different. I want to consider the fourth commandment today, of course, we've already read it from Exodus chapter 20. It tells us, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do you know that during the French Revolution at the end of the 18th century, the government introduced a 10-day week? They thought that the people could work for 9 days and take one day off. But they soon found out that it backfired and people became ill, and broken health was the result. Because God has created us and made us in such a way that our bodies need a day of rest every 7 days. It actually was the same under communist Russia. People like Stalin and Lenin, they introduced a 12-day week. They thought that you could get more work out of the employees, that they'd be more productive, that they'd be able to produce more goods by making them work for 11 days and then giving them a day off. But it didn't work. It was the same result as in France. And the outcome was exactly the same, because the people were created in the image of God and created in such a way that their bodies were programmed to rest every 7 days. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to say right at the outset this morning that Sunday is the proper day of God. Sunday is the proper day of God. It belongs to Him. Some people think that, oh, they can do as they like on a Sunday. Oh, I'll do what I wish. Nobody will tell me what to do on a Sunday. They forget that the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, it belongs not to them, but to the Lord. It's His property. And whenever we do on Sunday whatever we want to do, we are actually stealing. We're actually breaking the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal, because we're stealing something that doesn't belong to us, something that belongs to the Lord. It is His property. The Bible tells us in Exodus 31, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. Leviticus 19, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Did you notice one word, one tiny little word in both those verses? My, my. The Lord says, my Sabbaths. The Sabbath day is His. It belongs to Him. We are to keep His day holy. Of course, the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 2, He said, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. In other words, the Lord Jesus was emphasizing the fact that the Sabbath belongs to Him. It's His day. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, sometimes believers genuinely, sincerely ask, what can I do on the Sabbath day? What am I allowed to do on a Sunday? What shouldn't I do on a Sunday? And sometimes they come to ministers or they go to other Christians and ask, well, what do you think? Should I do that? Or what should I do on Sunday? What can we do on a Sunday? Well, the way I answer that question is, don't ask the minister or don't ask another believer. Ask the Lord of the Sabbath. Child of God, if you want to know what you should do on a Sunday and what you shouldn't do, go to the Lord of the Sabbath. Pray to Him. Ask Him, Lord, should I do this? Would this glorify Thee? Go to Him for guidance. And if you go sincerely to Him, genuinely wanting guidance, I can guarantee you one thing, the Lord will reveal to you what you should do. Think with me this morning, first of all, about the blessing of the Sabbath. The blessing of the Sabbath. The Saviour said in Mark 2, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. What he was really trying to get across was that God did not give the Sabbath day so that man would be like a slave, keeping rules, doing this and doing that and not doing this and not doing that. That's not what the Sabbath is about at all. The Sabbath was made for the benefit of man. It was given to be a blessing to man. Wonder, are you enjoying Sundays or enduring Sundays? Think about that question. Do you enjoy Sunday or do you endure Sunday? If you're enduring it, there's something wrong. It was meant to be enjoyed. It was meant to be a blessing to you. Thank God the Sabbath was given to us. It's a gift. Sunday is a gift from God. Aren't you so thankful today for the gift of one day in the week whenever you can rest? Whenever you can slow down, as it were, and recharge your batteries and find rest and refreshment for your body and for your mind. Oh, what a blessing the Sabbath day is. Yes, the Saviour said the Sabbath was made for man. Now, if I can just pause there and make a comment. Jesus said that Sundays were made for man. Some people have the idea that the Sabbath day was just for the Jews, just for Israel. And they argue that, well, we don't have to keep the Sabbath day today. It was just for Old Testament Israel. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ blows that argument out of the water. He says the Sabbath was made for the Jews? Israel? No, for man. For man. It was given as a loving gift from our loving Heavenly Father that it might benefit us, that it might be a blessing to us. Remember what we said last week, that the Ten Commandments have a positive side. Some people have the idea, oh, the Ten Commandments, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to do the other thing. It's all so negative. But that's not the case. The Ten Commandments are positive. And thank God here we have a positive command. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the idea is, if you do keep it holy, if you do keep it in such a way that glorifies God, you'll be blessed. It will benefit. It will benefit the individual physically, mentally, and spiritually. We live in a society today where there is so much sickness and illness, physical sickness, mental illness, so much sickness around today. Now, I know that not all sickness is the result of the breaking of the fourth commandment, but I want to tell you today, I believe that some sickness and some depression, mental illness, whatever you care to call it, nervous breakdowns, I believe that some of them are the result of people not resting on a Sunday. You see, whenever we go against the plan of God, whenever we rebel, whenever we fly against what God has planned for us and programmed for us, whenever we reject God's idea of rest and refreshment on the Sabbath day, then we pay up for it. You can't break the Sabbath day. You can't work, as it were, round the clock 7 days a week without sooner or later paying up for it. Eventually the time will come when your body will break down, your mind will break down. You see, we're not made to be always at work. There comes the time each week whenever we're to rest. The Sabbath day is a tremendous blessing. How should we behave on the Sabbath day? What way are we to live on a Sunday? Well, there are two areas that we need to cover. First of all, worship. Worship. The Sabbath day is to be a day of worship. You remember what it tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we're to assemble together. And it says, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The Lord's Day, Sunday, is to be a day whenever we assemble together. And we're to be diligent. We're to be faithful in attending on the Sabbath day. And you see, the book of Hebrews says that we're to be more and more diligent as we see the day approaching. What day is it speaking about? It's speaking about the coming of the Lord. Do you know, sadly today, what's happening is that people are becoming more and more careless about their attendance in church. And rather than being more determined to be found in the house of God, they are attending the house of God less and less. And the Lord Jesus Christ will soon return. And oh, the great cry, the great call of the scriptures is to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together on the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day is to be a day of worship. The word worship actually means, well, literally worth-ship. That's where the word comes from. We come into the house of God to worship the Lord because He is worth it. He's worthy of it. He deserves our worship or our worship because He is worthy. He deserves to be worshipped. He has put breath in our bodies. He has provided for our temporal needs. He has provided salvation for our souls. He watches over us from day to day. He cares for us. His eye is constantly upon us. He deserves our worship. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. So we are on the Sabbath day to come together into the house of God for worship. During the week, from Monday to Saturday, our thoughts are taken up with earthly things. Our work, our education, providing for our families. Earthly things. On a Sunday, we are to consider and to contemplate spiritual things. Our focus on a Sunday is to be upon spiritual things. Set your affection not on things on the earth, but on things above. We're to worship, but we're also to rest. We've already touched on the need for rest. That's the second. That's the other aspect of the Lord's Day. We are not only to worship, but we're to rest. We are to rest physically and mentally. I hope that you'll do that today. I know of Christians who don't rest on a Sunday. And you know why they don't rest? Because they're running here, there and yonder to services and meetings. Now I believe that we should go to the Lord's house twice on a Sunday. I believe in two Sunday services, morning and evening. But I don't believe in running all day long to services. Because you don't get a rest. You don't get refreshment for your body and your mind. Make sure that today and every Sabbath day, that you make it a day of rest. The blessing of the Sabbath well spent, brings a week of content and strength for the toils of the morrow. But a Sabbath profaned, whate'er may be gained, is a certain forerunner of sorrow. Think with me secondly about the warning of the Sabbath. We've not only got the blessing of the Sabbath, but there is a warning here. The Lord warns us in the fourth commandment against ignoring. We're not to ignore the Sabbath day. You notice that word remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You see, people forget about the Sabbath day, or they ignore the Sabbath day. And the Lord warns us against ignoring the Sabbath day. Our forefathers called it the Lord's Day. Then it was called Sunday. Today we call it the weekend, and it's getting weaker all the time. Wouldn't you agree with that? Years ago, our forefathers kept the Sabbath day holy. They were diligent about making Sunday different and making it special. Now, I know that sometimes people went over the top and people ended up like the Pharisees. They were keeping lists of rules, and it was an endurance. Well, that's not the way it is to be, but it is to be different. And our forefathers did keep the Sabbath day special. They kept it holy. And that's the way that we are to keep it. But sadly today, as far as many people are concerned, it's just a weekend. And it's getting weaker all the time. The fourth commandment warns us against ignoring the Sabbath day. Of course, in our nation today, the Sabbath day is ignored. Do you know that Friday is more important than Sunday to our government? Do you know that Friday is more important to many people today than Sunday? Why is that? Why is Friday more important? Because it's the Muslim holy day. Friday prayers. And you find that our government, our leaders, and many people today, they have no problem desecrating Sunday. But you wouldn't find them desecrating Friday. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad that we're more afraid of offending Muslims than Almighty God? Yes, Friday is more important in Britain today than Sunday. The evidence of that is shopping centres open on Sunday. Car washes open on Sunday. Restaurants, shops open on the Lord's Day. All kinds of businesses open on the Lord's Day. It's just like another day. But God says, remember it. Remember the Sabbath day. We're so prone to forget it. We're so quick to ignore the Sabbath day. The Lord emphasizes the need to remember it. And then he warns not only against ignoring, but he warns against idleness. Idleness. You see, the fourth commandment speaks about the importance of work. The importance of labor. During the week, we are to labor. We're not to be idle. If you notice what it tells us there in Exodus chapter 20, it says, 6 days shalt thou labor. In Genesis chapter 2, it tells us, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, sin hadn't entered into the world. Sin hadn't spoiled God's creation. And before sin entered into this world, the Lord put Adam in the Garden of Eden and he gave him work to do. He wanted Adam to labor, as it were. He didn't want Adam to be idle. And God's plan for man is that he should labor, that he should work. It was never God's plan that man should be idle. But isn't it sad today that there's so much idleness? There's so much slothfulness, laziness. People want money for nothing today. People want to get as much money for as little work as possible. They want to get life as easy as possible. Yes, there is an epidemic of idleness today in our nation. Of course, it's encouraged by the government because they hand out the benefits. They're handing out benefits to people who ought not to be receiving benefits. People who have no intention of working. People who are able-bodied and could work, but they're not willing to work. Now, I know that there are people who are not able to work. They are entitled to benefits. But people who are able to work but are not willing to work, they don't deserve a penny. Oh, the welfare system certainly needs to be overhauled. It is the will of God that we do an honest day's work. And remember what it tells us in the scriptures, that the sleep of the laboring man is sweet. The sleep of the laboring man is sweet. I wonder in some situations where there's sleeplessness and people can't sleep and their body clocks all mixed up. I wonder in some situations, now not every situation, but in some situations, could it be that those individuals don't do an honest day's work? That's food for thought. Yes, the fourth commandment warns us against idleness. Psalm 104, man goeth forth unto his work and to his labour until the evening. Now here's a question for you. Why was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? Well, first of all, because we all know of homosexuality. God rained down fire and brimstone from heaven because it was full of homosexuals. But did you know the other reason why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? Because of idleness. If you don't believe me, read Ezekiel chapter 16. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. Abundance of idleness. The people in Sodom weren't prepared to work. They just wanted to laze around all day. They weren't prepared to go out to do an honest day's work. And the Lord took a dim view of it. And he still takes a dim view of it. And judgment fell. We often forget that. We often don't realize it. We just think it was because of the perversion and the filth that was in Sodom that God judged it. But it was also because of the idleness of the people. You've all heard the phrase, the devil makes work for idle hands. Or you've heard the other phrase, keeping busy keeps you out of mischief. And it's very true. If you're idle, if you're not busy, the devil will find work for you. He will find sin for you to commit. Yes, the devil does make work for idle hands. It is important that we labour, that we are prepared to do an honest day's work. Now, I know that there are people who go over the top, and that's equally as bad. It's equally as bad where you find people who are workaholics, and they neglect their families, and they neglect the house of God because of their work. That's equally as bad as idleness. But we've got to get the happy medium in between. Isn't that where the Lord wants us to be? As we often say, we need to get the balance right. The warning of the Sabbath, the blessing of the Sabbath. I want to finish today with the meaning of the Sabbath, the meaning of the Sabbath. Did you ever think about that word Sabbath? What does it actually mean? Well, it's a Hebrew word, a Jewish word, Shabbat. And it literally means to rest or to cease from your work. The Sabbath is a day of rest. The whole idea of that word Sabbath is rest. But here's a very solemn thought as we finish, as we think about rest. There's no rest in hell. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now notice verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. No rest day nor night. There's no rest in hell. God is a wonderful God that he has given us the Sabbath day while we're here on earth, that we can rest. And my, what a blessing rest is. But I tell you, dear friend, if you go on rejecting Christ as you're presently doing, you'll end up in this awful place called hell. And it's the place where there's no rest. I wonder, could it be that you're headed for hell today? You've never been born again, or perhaps you were and you've wandered from God and you've turned your back on him. And at this moment in time, your feet are on the broad road that leads to destruction. And if God was to take the breath from your body right now, you would be in hell. You'd be in the place where there's no rest. If I can put it like this, in hell, there's no Sabbath. Continual torment. Sometimes you see those three letters, R.I.P., rest in peace. Sometimes you see them on gravestones, headstones, R.I.P., I know that it's meant respectfully, that it's meant as a sincere expression of sympathy. I know that. But isn't it sad that in many cases there are people, and yes, R.I.P. is written on their headstone, but they're not resting because they're not in heaven. They're in hell and they're not resting. It doesn't matter how many times people say R.I.P. or where R.I.P. is written. If the person was not born again, if they were not washed in the blood of Christ, they're in hell and they're not resting. R.I.P. means nothing. Now, how is it with you today? Maybe R.I.P. will go on your headstone someday. I don't know. But I wonder, will you be resting? Will you be with the Lord? Or will you be in that awful place where there's no rest, where there's no Sabbath? But we don't want to finish on a negative note today. Let's finish on a positive note, because the Bible tells us in Revelation 14, the very same chapter, that heaven is a place where there's perfect rest. Though hell is a place where there's no rest, thank God heaven is a place where there is perfect rest. If you read on down Revelation 14, you notice verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. My, it'll be wonderful for those in this meeting today who one day will be in heaven and you'll be resting. You'll be enjoying that eternal rest that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for you. My, what a wonderful day that will be when we enter into our eternal Sabbath. Yes, life has its trials, its difficulties. There are many battles. We sung earlier John Bunyan's great hymn about fighting the giants. And we're often fighting the giants down here on earth, isn't that right? And often the enemy knocks us down and we have little strength to get back up. But by the grace of God, we rise up and we go on as pilgrims. And there's coming a day, as Bunyan puts it, that we will pass over, that we will be happy pilgrims. We'll cross the river of death and we'll enter into that place of perfect rest. Tell me, are you ready for that place? You've heard me say before, and I'll say it again, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people.